In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus has just finished preaching to the multitudes. They were hungry, and the disciples said, "Well, gee, shouldn't you send folks to the local town to buy food?" And Jesus said, "Give them something to eat." And the disciples said, "Well, now wait a minute. We haven't got any way to make for provisions for all of these people." And Jesus said, "So, what do you got?" "We got a couple of loaves and a couple of fish." And Jesus blessed the loaves and fish and divided them. And we know what happened after that. That bounty that God provides from seemingly nothing, from a few loaves or a couple of fish, that's a bounty that we experience through our lives, I think. It's a bounty that we sometimes fail to give thanks for. That's a bounty that sometimes, when the fury that Joyce referred to in the earthquake, wind, and fire pulls us up short and says, "Whoa, what's going on here?" That bounty illuminated in the scripture by Jesus feeding the thousands is a bounty that we should keep in mind. But starting in verse 22, listen for what happens next. "Then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray." Jesus frequently went up on the mountain or went aside or went off quietly someplace away from the crowds to pray. This is part of Jesus' tradition, part of Jesus' way of being who he was. He celebrated the bounty that God gives us, gives him, allows him to share with us, and then he goes away to pray quietly, to pray silently. I hope each of you had an opportunity this week to get a few minutes of quiet reflection. I know that I felt like I was going every minute of the day, not accomplishing anything, not doing anything, not being useful, but just going and going and going. And then when it was necessary, and then at various points, I said, "Wait a minute, this is not the right thing. It's time just to go away to a quiet place and pray like Jesus did." When the evening came, Jesus was alone, but the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. The disciples were in the boat. They were on the Sea of Galilee, presumably. There was a storm. Do you feel a little bit like you were in the middle of a storm this week? I certainly did. Do you feel a little bit like you were buffeted by the winds? I certainly did. Did the disciples feel buffeted and beaten and generally abandoned by God? They probably did. Did you feel that way? I see a couple of folks nodding. Yeah, at times I think we do feel that way. We know God's bounty, but then sometimes it seems like we're all alone on that sea with the winds and the waves beating against us. And we don't quite know what to do. I'm reminded of a story that I read this week, a little quick story. It was from Barclay, and Barclay you may know as a commentator, whom I like to refer to. And the story was about a farm girl who goes to the well and lowers her bucket into the well and fills the bucket with water and raises the bucket up. And a bystander sees her do this. And then she reaches out and takes a piece of wood and puts it in the top, floats it in the top of the bucket. And the bystander says, "So why are you doing that? What's that for?" And she says, "Because it makes the water stable and I can carry it to my home without it spilling." Now, the hydrodynamicists among you, if there are any, may recognize what's happened there in a very practical sense. If the size of the piece of wood is comparable to the size of the bucket, it breaks up the wave, the sloshing of the water back and forth. The wavelength becomes shorter. It can't grow to quite as deep a wave, and it damps out the waves. Well, that piece of wood, in order, in the practical physical sense, for the piece of wood to damp out the waves, it has to be kind of comparable to the size of the, or half the size or something like that, of the size of the bucket. So the apostles were on the Sea of Galilee in this little boat. Look at the front of your bulletin and see the little boat on the front of the bulletin. Thanks to Jill for finding the little boat icon for us. So the apostles were in this little boat on this great big Sea of Galilee. The winds were blowing. The waves were sloshing back and forth. Logically, the waves are about the size of the boat. The boat's not the size of the sea. So where do the disciples look for the stability that the little block of wood can give to the farm girl carrying the bucket? Where do they look for that stability? And the answer, of course, is they don't know where to look for it. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Jesus is coming to them. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Not only were they in a little tiny boat in a great big sea, unlike the big piece of wood in the little tiny bucket, they were in a little tiny boat in the great big sea, sloshing around, and on top of all of that comes a ghost to further complicate their situation. Did you sort of feel a little bit this week like there was a ghost or two? There was further complications. There were things that you didn't quite know where they were coming from or what they were that were adding to the winds that were buffeting all of us? Well, I sort of thought there was. But immediately he spoke to them saying, "Take heart," that he is Jesus, "take heart, it is I, have no fear." Little tiny boat, great big sea, big old waves buffeting the little tiny boat. Where is the stability come from? It doesn't come from hydrodynamics. It doesn't come from the size of the bucket. It comes from Jesus coming to us, walking on the water, saying, "It is I, have no fear. It is I, have no fear." So what does Peter do? Peter, always the person who responds to impulse. Peter, described in the Gospels as the guy who never thinks anything through, but who always somehow or other manages to get it right in the end. Never quite makes all those plans that Eileen just agreed with that make God laugh. What does Peter do? Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." Right. Little tiny boat, great big waves, middle of the big ocean, no way to stabilize the boat. Sure, I'll get out of the boat, tromp across the water, and out I go to meet Jesus. Right. So what did Jesus say? Something pretty simple. Come. Just that. Come. Little tiny boat, big waves buffeting the boat, and Jesus says, "Come to me." That's the invitation. I don't claim to know what Floyd was going to say to you today, but my guess is that it is that invitation that Floyd wanted you to take away from his sermon today. Jesus said, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water and comes to Jesus. Okay? Every once in a while, I think we can each do that. We can get out of our little rocky boats. We can brave those waves. We can find our way through the faith that we have hopefully developed all through our lives. But what happens next? But when he, Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. That ever happened to you? Those circumstances in life that surround us, those circumstances that overwhelm that confidence that we sometimes have when things are okay, that confidence that we have in the faith that we have been taught, and we look around and we see the wind buffeting our little tiny boat, floating around on these big waves, or that fire on the hills. And any of you able to see the fire Thursday night? I got to admit, standing in White Rock and watching literally the entire hillsides burning just really, really shook me. I mean, it really, really did. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Whence comes my help? That scripture is a plea. You read it in the call to worship. That scripture is a plea for help. The danger was in the hills. And the psalmist is saying, whence will come my help? Peter was walking on the water, having thought things through very carefully, knowing exactly what he was doing. He was out there on the water, away from the boat. The waves are flopping around. He's in trouble. He sees the wind, and that must mean, it means to me, that he must have taken his eyes off of what or whom. Thank you. Okay. You're learning. I'm not Floyd, but you got the idea. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began to think about the circumstances that surrounded him, whether it was the fire on the hills, the waves beating on the boat, or those other things that sometimes tend to drive our lives, those things that are incredibly important, incredibly challenging, those things that are related to all of those things about living in the world. Put your eyes on those things, and I guarantee you what will happen is just what happened to Peter. He began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. So Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, O man of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Jesus issued that invitation. Jesus said, simply, come. The sometimes impetuous Peter, who we know for not quite thinking things through all the way, got out of the boat, went to Jesus, and then he was distracted. He was distracted by the wind, and he began to sink. We've got to find ways not to be distracted by the winds around us, whether it's the winds of fire or the winds for many of us here of embarking on a new life at White Rock Presbyterian Church without our longtime trusted and loved pastor. New kinds of winds that are beating on us. Place our focus on the wind, and we will sink. Place our focus on what we haven't got anymore, and we will sink. Place our focus on Jesus, on the faith that we have learned, on God, and who knows, maybe the wind around us really will cease. And we will be able to say with the disciples to Jesus, truly, you are the Son of God. That's what I have for you this morning. Thanks be to God.